We're going to read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and from verse 12. The Apostle Paul is writing here, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all." We're going to end the reading of God's word there this morning. Some of you may have seen a report published just last week by the BBC suggesting that one quarter of those who describe themselves as Christian do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. One woman who was interviewed, the Reverend Dr. Lorraine Kavanagh, Acting General Secretary of Modern Church, a denomination which promotes liberal Christian thinking, writes, "To ask an adult to believe in the resurrection the way they did when they were at Sunday school simply won't do. You're talking about adults here, and an adult faith requires that it be constantly questioned, constantly reinterpreted." Now, none of us are expecting that our understanding of the Christian faith is complete as children. But is what we have been taught about the resurrection as children something simply to be discarded now that we are adults with so much more understanding? Well, that's the question we want to think about this morning. To be a Christian, must I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? And we're going to turn to this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, because they too were asking questions about the resurrection of Jesus and how it relates to the future hope of the believer in Jesus. So Paul asks them to consider the implications if Jesus is not risen. In just five verses, five times, Paul makes reference to what the reality would be if Christ has not been raised from the dead. Verses 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. He encourages them to think about what remains if the resurrection of Jesus didn't actually happen. If Jesus did not rise from the dead the way that we were taught about it as children. If Jesus is not risen, Paul says in verse 17, your faith is futile. It's of no benefit at all. Faith is only as good as the object that the faith is placed in. Faith in my car to get me to my destination is only as good as the reliability of my car. Now, my first car was a little gold Ford Fiesta. It was almost 20 years old, and though I was thankful for it, I had learned that faith in the Fiesta's ability to get me where I wanted to go was completely unfounded. It might get me there, or it might not. And if it did get me there, it was no guarantee that it would get me back from there. And my having faith in its ability would have no effect on the outcome. Faith is only as good as the object or the person that faith is placed in. Early in verse 14, Paul writes, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." The preaching of the apostles was useless if there was no reality to the resurrection of Jesus. The promises of the gospel were empty if there was no reality to the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus was so central to their preaching that if you removed it, you would undermine everything else. And as a result, Paul says, so is our faith. There is nothing worth believing if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Faith is only as good as the object or the person that our faith is placed in, and faith in a dead religious teacher is altogether different from faith in a risen and living Saviour. Lots of people refer, don't they, to having faith as though that faith merits something, as though it's of some benefit. But the Apostle Paul couldn't be clearer. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Without the resurrection, we have nothing to encourage people to have faith in. Our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, our faith is as empty as the testimony of those who told us about the resurrection, because then they would be false witnesses. Verse 15. All of them. Everything the apostles said and taught must then be called into question. If they lied about the resurrection and seeing the risen Lord Jesus, well, why would we believe anything else that they say about Jesus? Did Jesus really do any of those miracles? Are the words of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus that the apostles recorded even accurate? Or have they just wrote down what they wanted Jesus to say and attributed to him just their own imaginations? You see, make no mistake, the apostles understood if they were wrong on this point about the resurrection of Jesus, well, then they were wrong about it all. This was the foundation of everything else. Listen to their preaching in the book of Acts. See how central the resurrection of Jesus is. It's his resurrection, they say, which proves that Jesus is who he said he was. Now, we need to grasp this about the Christian faith, that it's based on something objective that happened in history. It's not based on a person's personal subjective experience. And we must be careful of trying to convince anybody to trust in Christ based on anyone's subjective experience. Instead, we're to call them to believe on Jesus because he died and rose again from the dead. In recent years, there has been lots of interest in stories of people who have died, had some kind of afterlife experience, and then returned to tell the tale. Even some Christian publishers have started to print these kinds of books, some even made into movies. And well-meaning people can encourage others to see these as proof of an afterlife, a reason to believe. But this is a shaky foundation, and not something which any of us should encourage someone to believe in Jesus because of. One such book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, A True Story, was published in 2010. It tells the story of a 10-year-old boy and his father who were in a car accident. And it recounts the young boy's experience of the afterlife. And Tyndale House, the publishers, promoted the book as, and I quote, a supernatural encounter that will give you new insights on heaven, angels, and hearing the voice of God. The book sold more than 1 million copies until it had to be removed by the publishers in 2015 when the then teenage Alex Malarkey wrote an open letter acknowledging that he had made the whole thing up to get some attention. And here's what he wrote in that letter. People have profited from lies and continue to do so. They should read the Bible, which is enough. The Bible is the only source of truth. Anything written by man cannot be infallible. I want the whole world to know the Bible is enough. Those who market these materials must be called to repent and hold the Bible is enough. You see, if someone believes in an afterlife because of a story of someone's personal experience like this one, and it turns out to be false, well, there's no reason to believe anymore. You reject all of it. And the Apostle Paul is saying that if the resurrection of Jesus did not happen, that you must do the same thing with all that the apostles said and wrote. All of it false, from false witnesses, so that you can't hold on to the bits of it that you like or make you feel better if it is based on a lie. The resurrection of Jesus is so critical because it is the proof that what the apostles said was true, that Jesus is who he said he was, and that his promises have substance. Otherwise, we are to be pitied. People should feel sorry for us because we've been conned into believing the biggest of lies. Paul says in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Suppose you've been paying into a private pension for all of your working life, and you did so because you wanted to enjoy your years of retirement with a comfortable income. Take a few extra holidays, make the most of the years that you have left. All through your working life, the knowledge that you had that was coming enabled you, sustained you through some very difficult years. It's worth the hardship now, you say, because at least we'll be able to enjoy our retirement. It gave you something to look forward to, a hope for the future. But when it comes to your retirement and you're waiting for the first payment from your pension, well, nothing arrives. You wait a few days, but there is still nothing coming. You make some phone calls, but you can't even get through to the company that you've been paying all these years. It turns out that you were taken in. There was no pension company by this name. They've been taking your money all of these years, knowing there was never going to be a payout. You are to be pitied. You fell for a scam, a complete lie. Now, no one in their right mind would turn around and say, well, at least you had the peace of mind all of those years, thinking that you were going to get a pension. If that was all they were paying for, they should be pitied. And if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, our faith is useless. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have fallen for a scam on the word of false witnesses. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are to be pitied more than all other people. And Paul says in verse 17, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, you are still in your sins. Now, I think Paul means this in two ways. First of all, we are still guilty before God and under condemnation from God for our sins. You see, when God raised Jesus from the dead, it was the proof of God's acceptance of the sacrifice of Jesus. It was the receipt that the price had been paid. Wait a second there. In another place, Paul writes, he was delivered over to death for our sins and raised for our justification. Now, justification is the declaration of the judge that we are considered innocent in right standing with God because Jesus was condemned in our place. He was considered guilty instead of us. But if Jesus is not raised, we are still in our sins. We are not declared right before God. We are still under the condemnation of God. But secondly, we're not only under the penalty of sin, but we are still under the power of sin, incapable of being changed. In Romans 8, Paul talks about the work that the Holy Spirit does in making the believer more like the Lord Jesus. But all of this is dependent upon a vital truth in Romans 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. It's all dependent on the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead. That this same power to raise the dead is at work in us. But if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, there is no transforming work of the Spirit, no power to change us, to make us more like the Lord Jesus. If Jesus was not raised, you are still in your sins, under the penalty of sin, condemned before God, and still under the power of sin, incapable of being changed to be more like the Lord Jesus. Not only that, but if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then there is no resurrection of the dead. That is, there's no future hope for any of us who believe in the Lord Jesus. In that same study by the BBC that I mentioned at the beginning, 30% of those, again, who call themselves Christian, do not believe in life after death. Now, it seems that people see a correlation between belief in the resurrection of Jesus and belief in life after death. And in this passage that we read this morning, the Apostle Paul makes clear that the two are completely intertwined. If we say Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there will be no resurrection of the believer. If we deny the future resurrection of the believer, we're basically saying that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. That's how closely the two are intertwined. In Corinth, the problem wasn't that people were denying the resurrection of Jesus. They were denying the possibility of the believer being raised from the dead. I think in our day, we have the opposite tendency. People who can deny the resurrection of Jesus and still hope that there's going to be some kind of afterlife, whatever that might be. But we cannot separate the two that easily. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Paul says, you are lost, along with all of those who have died trusting in Jesus. Verse 18, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Being lost is a terrible experience, isn't it? I remember soon after I had started secondary school, I had to make a bus journey every day, about 20 miles on the bus. And in one of those first few weeks, the bus dropped us in a particular town along the way, telling us that there'd be another bus along in a few minutes to pick us up. The bus never arrived. We were left there stranded. I rang my parents to try to tell them where I was, but I had no idea where I was. I was somewhere between where I started out and where I hoped to end up. I was nowhere. And that's the situation we would find ourselves in if Christ is not risen from the dead. We leave this world and the life that we have known, hoping for an eternal life which has been promised to us, but that turns out to be false, we are lost, neither in this world or in the world that we had hoped to come. The same is true of every person who has died trusting in Jesus. They are lost, nowhere, if Jesus has not risen from the dead. But if Jesus is risen, our situation is altogether different. And in verse 20, we have one of those buts in the sentence that changes everything. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. This is the certainty upon which everything rests. It is the fact of history that changes everything. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Now let's keep reading. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus has been raised from the dead, but he is only the first of many who will be raised, because God will raise with Jesus all who have fallen asleep in him. If Jesus is risen, it guarantees the resurrection of all who die trusting in Jesus. The God who raised Jesus from the dead will, verse 23, when Jesus comes again, raise, verse 24, those who belong to him. And then, verse 24, the end will come. Verse 26, death itself will be destroyed. Must I believe in the resurrection? Absolutely. If Jesus is not risen, your faith is futile, because it's based on false witnesses, and you are to be pitied as someone who fell for a scam. If Jesus did not rise, you are still in your sins, still under God's condemnation, with no possibility of being changed. There will be no resurrection of the dead to eternal life, and you will be eternally lost. But if Jesus is risen from the dead, just as we would teach it to a child, that Jesus died, was buried, was raised again from the dead, it guarantees the resurrection of all who trust in him. Let's pray together. Father, as we consider your word this morning, the story is very bleak if Jesus is not risen from the dead. There's no point in being here this morning. There's no point in singing songs of praise to you. There's no point in praying to you. There's no point in listening to the record of what the apostles have written, because they have only told us what they wanted us to think and not the reality of those who were eyewitnesses. We'd still be under the condemnation of our sins, with no hope of any future life with you, absolutely lost. And yet, Father, we thank you that Paul paints this picture for us so that we see the absolute difference that the resurrection of Jesus makes. That he has been raised the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That his resurrection guarantees our resurrection if we are trusting in him. And Father, we pray that we might grasp the reality of this, and that knowing this good news would enable us to share it with others. Father, we pray even over the next month as we give out Gospels of Mark to the town in which we live. We pray that you would put it upon our hearts to pray for our town and particular areas of our town, to pray for people that we might give these Gospels to pray for others who will go around homes offering it to people, in the hope that some might come to know this truth of which we've been speaking this morning, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and how that guarantees all of your promises to us. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.